The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's been all redone. There's 5 bullet points now to each paragraph, which it's a total of 10. And check out the brand new ebook, the 30-day program I just put together. If you haven't had an introduction to power rack training, well, you're going to get it. You're going to do that with a conventional lift. The two movements are the flat bench, which I call the floor press because I don't use a bench. I do it right out of my platform, dead stop off the rods. And also, too, it's going to be the squat. You're going to learn how to quarter squat. You're going to learn how to lock out with the bench. And then right in the middle of the week, we've got quite an extended sandbag training routine. And I give you the one that I use that I believe has helped me lift stones big time. So go out, download that. They're all free. You just got to leave your email address. Also, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. If you like what we talk about here, those are my two biggest products to date. Very simplistic, very straightforward, and very result-proving. And that's what they do. You know, at some points, you have to put some urgency on what you do. And they're very reasonably priced. It's none of this stuff where you're going to have to keep paying money every few months. One-shot deal. If you need help, you can get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I'd be more than happy to help you out. That's what we like to do here. Also, go out to motivationandmuscle.com. /category/podcast. We just had our good friend Steve Cotter on here. Go out and look at all the shows I've done with Steve. Or we had Paolo Wadudo on here yesterday, Mike Margolis, James Fuller, Adam Glass, just Bud Jeffries, Will Din. It just goes down, on and on and on. It's incredible what we have here. Any shows that you've seen here is like it's I don't know how many books of content it is. It's amazing. So go out and look at all that. I'm telling you, if you can't learn from here, I don't know where you're going to learn from. There's more content-rich material here than anybody I know that's doing any of this stuff, and it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So go out and check all that stuff out. Today's a big day here. You know my feeling, how I love to have new people on here. And this gentleman, Bill Crawford, who's a regular on here, was leaving at the time to go to Scotland to meet Martin Jancic. And I was like, you know, I sent him a note one time. We didn't connect. I talked to Roger Davis, and I believe it was Roger that connected with Martin, and Martin got to me. And we have gone back and forth through Facebook, and we spoke a few weeks ago on Skype, and it's been nothing but great. We love talking strength. Things go as calculated. We are going to be meeting up next year, and I'm even thinking about it. I haven't even talked to Martin about this. There's a lot of people from the show that have expressed that they'd love to go lift stones in Iceland and Scotland. So maybe that's got some potential, but we'll have to talk with Martin on that. But I want to give you some information on Martin. Number one, he's a stone lifter. You got to go out to Facebook and see this guy. He is unbelievable. Number two, he's a strong man for sure. He power lifted for a year. He's competed in the Scottish Championships. And the thing that I liked about him mainly, besides being a gent, I said to him, you know, and we're going to get into all this. What got you? Well, he saw the Inver stone, and that's the first stone he ever lifted. That's quite a stone to lift for your first pop, let me tell you. And like I said, today we're doing an introduction show. We're going to introduce Martin to the family. We want to get everybody acclimated with what he does because we plan and we hope that he's going to want to be a regular with us. Martin, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, Eric. It's great to be a part of the show, and I think you're a fantastic host, and I can't wait to get going.
Thanks. I appreciate that, and it's great to have you on. Now, Anything I missed, like I said, introduce yourself. You got a website. I know you got a website. Well, I know you're on Facebook and people can go out. So give the audience all that and we'll get started, please.
As you said, my big passion is lifting stones. And there are a lot of stones around Scotland. They've all got a great history to them. Some of them go back a few hundred years, some go back a few thousand years. Back in October last year, I created a Facebook page to get the stones out there to the public. It's called Historic Stone Lifting. Last week, we got over 1,000 likes. And today, I think it sits at 1,021. I've had a lot of feedback from all over the world, from people saying how much they enjoy the site. They look forward to all the new posts. And they like to come over to Scotland and do a tour around the stones. I powerlifted, like you said, for a year. I did the Scottish Championships. I came second. I've qualified for the British, but a week after that, I got my appendix out. So that stopped my powerlifting career. Then after that, I wanted to do some charity event. So I had a big £500 tyre. And myself and two others, we, for charity in a park, we flipped that tyre for 1 mile down a 50-metre track back and forth. The year after that, with two other people, I flipped a £770 tyre 245 times in 3.5 hours. To train for that, for stamina, because I knew that's what it, for me, that's what it came down to, I flipped the £500 tyre in a lone training session for 0.5 mile. 400 times in 2.5 hours.
God.
This year, I've been conducting tours around all the historic stones in Scotland. And, of course, you go into the Historic Stone Lifting Facebook page, you can see all the information. There's directions to the stones. There's the pictures of myself and others lifting the stones. There's information about the history of the stones. And I've got one of the best... times I had lifting a stone was down in Wales back in 2014. Mm-hmm. I've got a story, if that's okay to tell you. I was down there with Roger Davies, actually. Peter Martin and Alex Roberts. And Roger actually organised a tour. And there was this Welsh historian, he was about 81 at the time. He's written countless books on Welsh history. He's been all over the world giving lectures, especially in America. And there was this stone that he's been speaking about in his lectures for years. I'm not sure the name of the stone, but I know it used to sit outside a cave. And it was 100 years ago. It used to stop people from getting into a cave. And this guy's done, like I said, he spoke about this stone in his lectures for years. And Roger got in touch with him, and he agreed to show us where the stone was.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to us, there's no way any of us are going to lift this stone. It's too heavy. I think it was only maybe 140, 150 kilograms maybe.
Yep.
And so we went down to it, and he says, here's the stone. He had to show us where it was. And then Roger had a shot, Alex had a shot. I think they got off the ground a few inches, which was really good. And then I had a shot, and I lifted it up to my knees and put it onto my lap. I squatted down with it, and the historian guy was just going crazy. he was just loving seeing a stone off the ground, and he actually got me to sit there for like 5 minutes, and he was taking photographs, walking around me, taking all these photos, and he came and said, oh my God, I can't believe you lifted it. Now, I think it was Roger that says to him, well, just wait to see what he does next. So he says, oh, what's he got to do? So I stood up and lifted the stone up to my chest. And he just went ballistic.
Yeah,
it was like giving your kid their favorite toy at Christmas. This guy was just going crazy.
Well, now I want to get into all that. I think we can probably break right into the tire. But before we get into that, let's keep that thought in mind about that stone. Let's talk about the early years of you, Martin. We all have our heroes when we're younger. You know, there's strength interests, young boys. There's no doubt about it, the majority of them. What initially got you? I mean, I know we'll talk about how you saw the invert, but something had to light you up to want you to get into, you know, becoming a strength athlete. What was your major influence in the very beginning?
You know, would it be when I was a kid? It was comic books and cartoons. It was Incredible Hulk.
Yep.
It was just seeing what he could do and change him from a little guy to a great big guy. And I thought, well, I could train and I could get bigger. And just kind of watching him on TV and see what he did and reading the comic books, it was just kind of opened your mind to what it was possible.
Well, you know something, the thing I liked about all that stuff, as in today's world, there was always a sense that you could do it. You know, you had your detractors everywhere, but when I used to read comic books and dream and watch, you know, even the show on TV with Lou Ferrigno when he played the Hulk.
That was always the best one for me.
Yeah, well, you know what it was? Didn't it always make you, you know, it did something to you. It was like, I want to be strong like this guy. You know, I want to be able to pick a car up and throw it. Or, you know what I mean? Or basically lift a house off the friggin', you know, the foundation. There was something always about that. And I, you know, to this day, I didn't like the Hulk in the Avengers. I didn't really like that. The last Hulk I really liked was in 2008. It was with Ed Norton and Liv Tyler. He looked like the Hulk. He reminded me of the comic book Hulk with the hair and everything. And, you know, obviously Abomination was always his enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a grown man, quote unquote, now, you park a good Hulk movie in front of me and I'm there, man, no matter what. I just think you're always looking, you know, once you start doing the stuff we do, who doesn't want to keep getting stronger, man? I don't understand why people got like such a problem with a lot of that, you know, because a lot of it is stereotype and all that. And there are a lot of guys and girls that don't understand strength and they're bullies and all that crap. But you know what? I don't even think about them. I could care less. And I love that stuff, man. It always gave me a reason to want to, you know, I know I can get bigger. I know I can get stronger. And it was like, that's a hell of a feeling rather than telling somebody that, well, you can't do it or you're going to get hurt. Now, where are we going to go with that? We're going to go nowhere with that stuff. But, all right, so as you progress, the comic books and everything, you know now you want to get stronger. Did you know at that point you wanted to become a weightlifter then?
I just know I wanted to get stronger and pick up anything I could find.
I love it. Yeah. Yep. That was the thing. You know, I mean, you and I both know. I mean, as a kid, how much money do you got to get? You and I can't go out and buy a gym. I couldn't even afford to join a gym initially. So I was always looking for stuff. And then what happened with me is my aunt and uncle gave me an old sand weight set with a wooden bench. And of course, it leaked everywhere. But you know what? I've said this before in other shows. When my hands touched that bar, I knew I found it. I mean, I'd played organized sports my whole life. I liked it, but I'd much rather have run on my own. I liked the idea, and at the time, I didn't know the responsibility of it, and I was never a blame guy. I liked the idea of, look, it falls on my shoulders. Either I just had a bad day, mm-hmm. I wasn't prepared enough, I wasn't strong enough. And if you have that type of ability where you can deal with those failures, you're just going to come back better and better. And that's what I found. That all that stuff touched off on me. And, you know, I told you when we spoke offline, you know, I had a brother, my brother Jimmy, who this whole company's dedicated to. He had muscular dystrophy. And as a kid, you know, you don't understand everything. But the thing that always scared me about that, and then your parents explain it to you, I was afraid, well, what if I got that and I was wheelchair-bound the rest of my life? It had a very defining moment on me where I said, you know what, maybe I'm not going to be perfect with everything in life, but I'm going to be strong and sensible, and I want to live that way. And you know something? I've been very blessed because even though I lost him and the family lost him, you know, he's with you every day. You don't lose him ever. You know, he's not here.
They're always there. They're always there watching.
They're always there. Yep. And I always say, Martin, I always say he's like the angel on my right shoulder all the time. You know, I remember on the Rocky movies when he was talking about Mickey like that.
Yeah,
where
he's an angel on my shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, and you feel like you're falling, and suddenly, you know, Mick was like, you know, get up, you son of a bitch, because Mickey loves you, you know.
Yeah,
it's like, that's how I feel with Jimmy, man. It's like, no matter what happens, no matter what obstacles I hit, no matter what happens in my business personally or professionally, I'm going to always get up. I'm going to answer that bell no matter what. And I think, you know, with what you and I and all the other folks do who are on here and our family out there, these things I don't think you can ever hear enough of. I don't care if they've heard me say this a billion times. Well, now you're going to hear it a billion and one. You know why? Because you need to have this resonate in your head. And you need to go out and teach other people and bring them in. Because you know what? Out there right now, I see it. A lot of confusion out there all over the place. You see people, they don't know what the hell they're doing, half of them now. They don't know where they're going. They only know one thing. I've got a phone attached to my left or right hand, and that's all that matters to me. And I
like watching The Walking Dead sometimes. It's like watching, your life is like watching The Walking Dead sometimes.
It is. But you know something? Steve and I were talking about this, and this has come up a lot this week. We're different, man. And I want to explain that, and I want you to comment on this totally, because I want to see what you think about this. My brother and I had a big conversation about a week and a half ago on this, and it's been coming up more and more now, and I'm kind of pushing it now more and more. And we talked about lifting, and everybody in my family are either weightlifters or into martial arts. So it's on both sides of my family, my sister's husband and all that. Both sides are all very athletic, and you can see it in their kids what's happening now, because, you know, they're just turned 13 and 14, and one's a very good long-distance runner who's running with people 5-6 years older than her. She had gone in a huge race that has age groups up to, I think, 70. I mean, she came in 86th out of like 600 runners, man, on the hottest day. And if she could keep what was in her stomach down and didn't have to keep stopping, I would think she would have done even better. And my other niece is quite a volleyball player, and she's just made a big team, and she's built for volleyball, long, lean. Both girls are like that. But to make a long story short, is this. What I've been really harping on is this. My brother Mark and I were talking, and we said, weightlifters, stone lifters, kettlebell, whatever you want to do, because to me, we all do lifting, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And we said, we think it's DNA, whether the parents did it or not. It's like, all right, I'm like, well, what do you think? Is somebody, as we're coming down to earth, is someone throwing some type of metal dust on us that we're going to lift? I don't know. And it sounds out there, but I'll explain it fully. You and I probably have gone through a lot of people training, and there's people that maybe were good initially for maybe a year, and they just suddenly drop out. It could be an excuse. It could be health. It could be, well, I got a girlfriend now. She doesn't want me doing it. I don't have time, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Why is it then you and I and so many people are still hanging around, getting better, getting stronger, getting bigger if we want to, more enduring? And we'll do this, at least me, I'm going to do it to the day they drop me in a hole. I will not settle for anything less, all right? And that's the question. And why is it that we keep going? Why do we sustain? Why do we do so? And you know something? I think what we do is the harshest stuff out there. I don't care if these guys are fighting or whatever. Try to sit there and flip a tire for 2 hours. Try to take and lift multiple stones within days of one another. Travel to foreign lands you don't know anybody and try to pull it off mentally. And the thing I want to ask you is this, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about us, and I mean this wholeheartedly, what is it about us that's so different, the way we do things, the way that we approach things? And what is it? Where did this all come from, all right? I know we got our heroes and everything, but how many people touch weights and just say, screw it, it's too hard, or I quit? What is it about so special in so many of us that I believe it's inherently in us when we come into the world, when we're born from our moms. Tell me what you think about that.
Well, I think you're on the right track. I think that everybody, when they're born, they're going to have a passion for something.
Yeah.
I think, well, for me, it's like when I first picked up the Inver Stone, I did a lot of different sports, boxing, yep. Rugby, a lot of tug-of-war, weightlifting, bodybuilding. But the very day I grasped that Inver Stone and then picked it up and had it on my lap and picked it up to my chest and it just rolled up onto my shoulder, I just, a fire just kind of kicked off inside me. And I found the thing I was here to do, my big passion, stone lifting. Ever since I lifted that stone, I know I want to stop. I think just as soon as you find that, come across that one thing that is maybe inside you, that fire just kicks off and that's it. It's never going out. It's on and it's going to burn more bright, and you're just going to keep going and keep going.
You know what I think, seriously? I think you hit it right on the mark. You know, I touched it when I touched those sand weights. You got the big Inver Stone. And that's why I'm seriously, I think that there's something about us that are so unique. We don't realize it. See, you said the magic words, and I did too, when you touch it. Because it's already laying in there dormant. It's like, this is how I equate the Hulk. This is why I love the Hulk so much. That gamma, and he didn't know the first time it set off what would happen. They had no idea, but there's something roaming around.
Yeah, it was just sitting inside him, ready to be unleashed and just kicked off.
Yeah, yeah. It just, you go bananas, okay? And it's like, it touches it off, and now you know where you need to be. And that is the main thing that most people don't understand about any of this stuff we do. You are touching something off that is going to change your life forever, forever. And if you grasp onto this stuff, no matter what you like to do with physicality, you will be the best human possible that you can produce. Because at that point, you're an adult. And you're responsible, and it's time to make good on everything you do. And I agree totally with you. There's little things that touch you off. All right, let's talk about, obviously, the beginning. We'll go, because stones, and we'll do some endurance and some things we'll talk about that, you know, we're going to be touching off on to get ready to go. You know, I plan on meeting up. We're going to work something out where I'd like to meet you in Iceland first, and then we'll go to Scotland if we can pull it off.
Yeah.
And the same thing, we'll see if we can get a group, and if you can swing it, you know, we'll go out and do a tour. I mean, it would just be dynamite. But let's talk about, all right, the Inver Stone obviously was the thing that you lifted first. What got you – was it driving by there? Was it somebody telling you about it? What got you interested in the Inver, and especially, I mean – tell everybody, I mean, we know most people don't even know what the weight of that is. That is a huge stone to shoulder, and I mean, obviously, if you're one out of the very few that can press it, I mean, you're a superman, there's no doubt about it. So give us a little bit of your history with the Inver.
Well, what it was for me, I was a lot of time, I used to work in I was a builder by trade for a time. I'm a draftsman now, and I also work with electronics as well. But when I was a builder on the building site, I used to actually, well, when I first started off in the trades, I was labouring for a slater, a roofer. I was lifting slates and tiles up onto the roof. And he was actually teaching me how to do the job as well. But there was only four of us there at the time. And we were all working on the same job, because I was like the labourer at 18 years old. I had to make sure they all had enough slates and stuff before I could actually get taught anything. So I used to just get the biggest pile of slates and tiles I could properly stretch my arm out and lift, maybe 40, 50 slates in one go. Lift it up on my shoulder. My fingertips were just going white. I was just hugging on that tight. My arm was fully extended. I went up the ladder, and then I would go back down, up the ladder, back down. I must have up thousands of slates, within a matter of, within a few hours, I was up and down with slates all day. And then once at the same time when I was, I think that's where I got my strength for shoulder and things. At the same yep. time when I was a builder, I used to, when I was unloading lorries for putting the blocks over to start building a house, I would lift one, then lift two, then lift three, then I started lifting four, and then lifting five blocks, just to get them off the lorry quick enough so we could start building the house. Each block is maybe 18 kilograms, so I was lifting maybe four or five of them on my shoulder to get them over to the location where to start building. And then I think that's when I first lifted the Emberstone, and I got up to my chest, lifting heavy objects up my shoulder was just like a natural process for me.
Yep.
As soon as I got the Emberstone up to my chest, it just, without thinking about it, I just rolled it up onto my shoulder and it just sat there.
That's awesome.
That's my big thing now. After lifting some of the stones up to my chest, I just try and get everything in the shoulder.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you know something, now you're hitting on another subject we always do. I still feel manual labor is the key to, look, I think a lot of what we do is manual labor. I mean, you're out lifting stones and you're lifting large groups of stones. Say you're going on a tour and you're even doing two a day, because we know how draining that stuff can be, especially if you're not getting it up the first time and you're working as hard as you can to get it up, and a few more times. So I know when we were in Iceland, you know, guys that couldn't get it up there, they would try, and eventually you just, that's the end. There's just nothing left. And I'll tell you one thing, speaking of Roger Davis, Roger, when we went in 2008, he is by far, pound for pound, one of the strongest guys I've ever met. I saw him wrestle with stones and eventually lift them where his forearms would be bleeding and scraped. I mean, not only that, he's one hell of a nice guy to boot. And, you know, I want to tell you, too, this was very unfortunate. Obviously, we all lost Peter Martin. And I had Peter Martin coming on the show shortly after the week he passed away. I was in conversation with him. He had sent me some of a new piece of book he was writing, and I printed it off, and it's an outstanding stuff. And just to show you what a class act his family is, his daughter didn't even know me. And now I talked to Bill, because Bill was on a show that Saturday, and I said, you know, Peter's coming on. He goes, Eric, I don't know if this is a rumor or not, but they said that Peter Martin's passed away. And I was like, because I knew he had a heart attack and all that, but he'd been doing very well, and he had contacted me after he got home. I believe it was that night. I believe I talked to him that Friday afternoon, because I think he passed away that night. I was in shock, man. I couldn't believe it. And I said, are you sure about that? Well, his daughter sent me a beautiful note and said, I just wanted to let you know my father passed away, and, you know, obviously this is why you haven't heard from him and all that. I mean, that's a class act, man. That and I felt so damn bad, because I was like, I finally got the great Peter Martin, and we lost him, because I am so dedicated to get so many of these older strength experts, or not any experts, or just people who have lived, because my big thing right now is I want to have this stuff when these men and women are long gone. It's very important, man, for everybody coming up, for guys and girls that are established, they have never heard of these people. I just think that is just so special, and unfortunately that happened. I mean, that's a fact of life, but just very nice people, and it's really unfortunate I never had the pleasure of not only meeting him and shaking his hand, but speaking to him. So I know you've met him. It's just like David Webster, too. I'm going to get him on here eventually. I don't want to lose out on these guys. They're just too damn relevant, and they've seen so many things. And see, I really appreciate that older past. I find a lot of strength in those people.
Yeah,
and
David Webster knows. He's a really good guy.
Yeah.
He knows a
lot.
And Peter, I did a few stone tours with him.
Yep.
It was actually Peter that introduced me to Bill Crawford.
Oh, cool.
Who's a great guy. And
oh, yeah.
I spent 6 days, it was 2 years after I met him, I spent that 6 days filming for the documentary for Rogue
yep.
Fitness. And getting to know him over 6 days was just great. I'm actually planning on going over to visit him next year.
Yep.
And going to his Highland Games that he organises. And
oh, you are going to go? You're going to go up to New Hampshire?
Yeah, I can't wait. The best thing will be getting to meet him again.
Well, don't be surprised if I'm up there too, because we're going to be changing our fortunes, so to speak. And if we can get Wi-Fi, we're going to do a show right from there.
That'll be phenomenal. It'll be really great.
Yeah, we'll have you on as a guest. No, Bill. You know the thing with Bill. Bill's a lot younger version. A lot of these older guys have been out there. I mean, Bill is dedicated to the history of the stone, the preservation of the stone. And it's like, it's just very important things, because all that stuff applies to your life. And when you can take what you've learned out of the gym and out of competition and apply that to your private life, I sincerely believe it, because it's influenced me with my business. I don't think there's anything you can't do. And it prepares you for the beatings you're going to take with these things, because we know from both of our experiences is this. How many times are you going to get beaten and fail and cut and injured doing this stuff? But there's something within you that just can't let it go. And I always say the only thing that's going to stop me from everything is an act of God killing me. That's it, man.
You train getting hard to go and lift a certain stone, then you know there's another one around the corner, so you go and lift that one, then there's a heavier one coming up next, you say, oh, I've got to go and train and lift that one next. And then it's like friendly, the whole family in the stone lifting world, it's like a friendly competition. But it's more competition within yourself. It's like me, I see someone lifting a certain stone, I say, oh, I'm going to lift that stone even higher.
Hell yeah.
They get it on their lap, I'm going to put it up to my chest. They put it on the chest, I'll put it on the shoulder. But it's all a friendly sort of competition. I mean, I've did 4 stone lifting tours, showing people around this year. And each one, I've been there and I've seen all the guys there. And no matter if someone lifts a stone and the next guy lifts it even better or higher or heavier or quicker, the guy that lifts it before and everybody else, they're all shouting and cheering them on and wanting to do the best that you can. Nobody doesn't like somebody else. It's like there's some competitions, if you didn't win, you get a bad place and you hate everyone. You don't want to go back. It's not like that with the stones. Everybody, it's like a big happy family. Everybody helps everybody else out and gives people information, helping how to lift the stone, and just kind of encourages everyone else to do it.
Well, that's the nice thing about it. It's a fraternity that sticks together. A lot of these other sports are out to cut your throat. Hey, look, when you're going in competition, you want to win. Nobody wants to lose, but the deal is, how many competitors are out there cheering for for people they're going against? Not very many.
No.
And that's why, well, you know what? The whole thing is, that's why all this stuff is so special. And it's very hard work, but it's very gratifying. But in some ways, I'm glad that a lot of people probably aren't trying to mainstream it, because it'll ruin it for sure. And then you're going to get the same old BS all the competition that's worthless to me. Look, you know, you go out in a field, a big field somewhere, and you know where that stone is. All that's there is anybody who's with you, the field, the air, the sky, everything blowing on you, what you're feeling, and you lift that thing or you don't lift it. That, to me, puts you right where you belong, because no excuses. I don't care what's going on. You take ownership for what you've done, and you know what? You come back and get it the next time. That's the beauty of all this stuff. It's not like, I'm not going to blame you. I'm not going to blame because I was on a plane for 4 or 5 hours. I'm not going to do any of that. What I'm going to do, though, is this. I'm going to do the best I can, and that's about as far as it's going to go. You know? I mean, that's it.
Yeah, if you don't succeed to do the what you want to do with that certain stone, you go back and do it again. And then it's like you say, if there's someone else that does do what you wanted to do, you still cheer them on. If they get it up even to the chest, the shoulder, overhead.
Yep.
You're sitting there, come on, keep going, keep going, keep going. And then they'll tell you, well, just come back and do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this. All right. So we've got the Inver, we've done that. And let's get into a little bit of the training, but I really want to talk. Can you talk about the Stone Tour you did with Bill and David Webster and with Rogue, or is that still off limits?
No, we can speak a little bit about it, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's first off do this. Okay. So now you've decided the stone lifting bug's got you, right? And you've done powerlifting, strongman, and all that. How do you come up, obviously, with a way that training works for you? We know exercises change, et cetera, et cetera. But what did you feel mainly you needed weight-wise to get yourself that much better with stones? So what movements did you feel? What ones did you plug in and unplug? And we'll go from there.
Well, to start with, the main thing, if you want to go and start lifting some stones, and the real big one, the exercise you can do is just go and lift stones. I've seen so many big, heavy guys that they can lift colossal weights in the gym, but they come and lift one of these stones, they can't do it. It's a totally different technique. The way you lift it, everything is 100% different. But in the gym, for me, the main exercises I do for lifting stones is the front squat, because that's like simulating. And you've got the I like to squat down deep when I've got a stone in my lap. At the same time, a front squat is like going from that deep squat with a weight in front of you and stones in front of you, and you're lifting up to your chest. So that front squat simulates lifting the stone from the lap up to your chest, standing up with it.
Yep.
And of course, good mornings, I'll do them straight after the front squat, because it's the best exercise I find for my lower back. And I've found myself getting a lot stronger for lifting the stones through both the front squats on the good mornings.
Yep.
And when I go around, the most stones I've toured around and lifted in a day is 6. And we started early in the morning and finished like 9 o'clock at night.
Yep.
And for me, my back was strong, my lats were strong, because I know I've seen so many things in strongman competitions where the guys are doing a deadlift and they lift it wrong or jerk it and they tear the lats. So I do a lot of, for reps, I do a lot of lat cool downs at the gym. I'll put a moderate to heavy weight on and do maybe 5 sets of 15.
Straight after
that, I'll do maybe 2 extra sets of heavy sets of 3 to 4. I believe that doing the repetition work prepares your muscles in a different way. So you can lift multiple stones through one day without getting any serious injuries. Of course, you'll get you get sore as you would doing anything with your muscles, but you won't get any. It can minimise the likelihood of any great injury that you can sustain doing that.
Yep. No, I agree. Because, you know, when we were talking about that a few weeks ago, I thought that was a very good way to go. Because a lot of, you know, like I like to start heavy. And, you know, I do a lot of body weight warm up before. But, you know, I did the other night. It was interesting. Did about a 20-minute body weight warm up. So that would be in the power rack. I set an Olympic bar right at chin height, and I go down and I do squat pull-ups, they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get in, I put 2 Olympic bars in at about middle or to a little bit upper thigh, and I simulate doing a good morning. So, you know, I'm bent over the whole thing, all right, and that's all body weight. And then what I do, I have a 95-foot driveway up and back. I'll take heavy hands, and I do a skiing motion with them up and back. And what I do is I'll set an egg timer. When the timer goes off, I'm done no matter what, whether I've reached what I have. Now, I did something different I haven't done, and I like to do this a lot of times with other things because I like the mental distraction in a different way where it builds a nervous system. And what I did is I did 2 things together, which I never do. I you know, I do all my workout off the rods as far as like any type of pressing or squatting. So I was down in parallel position, and what I did is I went from the front squat to a thing I called, which is really an old school, old style squat. I do a thing called a tri-thigh dead stop squat. And what it is you'll take the bar, have it as close to the 4x4s as possible.
Yeah.
And what you do is you get under the thing and you push your triceps your hands basically right through the front of your thighs and stand up. Now, you can't stand up all the way or the bar is going to roll off your traps, but you come pretty close. The balance alone to do that is insane, and you want to build your legs and everything. Because I was doing them, you know, obviously dead stop with a buffalo bar, cambered bar for years. But when I messed my shoulder up about 8 months ago, it was really – I didn't like the feel of when you tried to get your arm behind your back, and it was bothering that area that was really hurting. So a good friend of mine, John McKean, told me about these. Well, I'm doing regular now from parallel. I can knock 500 off all day long with it, okay? Now, that is a brutal lift. I mean, for anybody that's never done a squat, let alone a dead stop, using no hands to hold the bar, you've got to be pretty coordinated to do that. So what I did is I went from front squat, and I don't do it Olympic style. I fold my arms, obviously. And I didn't go real heavy, but I did them that and a 200. I think the tire was about 250. I flipped. What I would do is I would go front squat and at the same height, obviously, and then I'd do the tri quad. So I ended up starting out at 240, 260, I think it was, 300, and no, 290, and then 320. Now, I know that's not a lot of weight to most people, but I've never done it before going back and forth. And I would say tops, maybe there's 3 seconds between each movement. And as soon as I got done with them, I took that tire and flipped it 50 feet and 50 feet back. Now, what did I count up? I think I did 4 or 5 rounds of that. I was stoked, man. Just going back and forth because – I know. It's you know they're going to say, well, it's not a lot of weight, but add that up when you're taking about 2 to 3 seconds. Because all I'm doing is basically maybe throwing a little chalk on me and going right to it. You know, I was very pleased with that. Is that going to be something I'm going to grow with? Absolutely. But the thing I liked more than anything was the tire was light enough, but enough mentally, where it touched off my mind enough where I just felt so energized to go into my next set. So the sets were quick. The weight was more than sufficient. And once again, I think I've discovered another way I want to mess around with stuff because I've already got a new way of doing 2 of those tri-quad dead stops within one movement and in the rack. And all it was to create a 6th set of rods. And I'm going to put that all out on video for everybody to watch on YouTube. But you become very ingenious with things. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. And like you said, you know, between that and doing the good mornings, which I do quite a bit, because Bill was a big believer in them, and Bill's a big believer too, and we'll get into this right now, is, you know, you made the point, and Bill has too. Bill's had people over his house that were incredible deadlifters that couldn't pull a 230-pound Atlas stone off the ground. Pissed off, upset. Well, there's a big difference, like you said. But he made 2 good comments on here, among many. Obviously, we're going to get over to Iceland next year, and you know about that stone where it's 418. Yeah. You got to walk 50 meters around the sheep pen. And there's no handholds in it. And for anybody that doesn't know, there's very few grooves you can get your fingers in because that helps with lifting the stone. Now, a thing that I want to stress to everybody, and Martin, I'll get right to you. The point of failure usually when you go to lift a stone, I'm speaking Husafell, all right, is your fingers. Now, if your fingers are not strong and your wrists are not strong, your hands are not strong, and we haven't even touched upon the bicep, I guarantee you, I don't care how strong your hip girdle, shoulder girdle is, maybe you'll get it up off the ground, but you're not getting anywhere with it. And one thing Bill enlightened me with was two things. He said, start taking lighter stones and learn to dig your fingers into them, because he says you're going to find that it's going to become much easier to lift these big, complicated stones, number one. Number two is get a good, thick plank of wood that will stretch across your power rack, and obviously you can set it at all sites. Learn to start hanging off that wood by your fingertips. Well, I can tell you right now the improvement already, and I do a thing I added. I have a cement, obviously, garage. I'll take one of those stones, and I want to tell everybody, spread your feet apart, because if you let go of it, you could break your foot if it hits it. Do an isometric, and by that I mean dig your fingers into that stone as hard as you can and take your body and brace that against the wall and hold it till your hands fail on you. I'm telling you right now, you will have the hands of stone. All right, Martin, comment on anything you like there, please.
Well, I really like what you said about the wooden block. That sounds like a really good exercise that will help.
Yep.
For me, I've actually I did tug of war for a number of years.
Okay.
I never used to use tarkie on any time. I just wanted to concentrate and get my grip stronger. So I've, over the years, 5-6 years, I've got a really strong grip through holding that rope for hours over a summer.
Yep.
But the big thing I do for my grip strength, I get one of them concrete blocks I was talking about that I build a house with, or I used to build a house with.
Yep.
I would put it on the ground and just clasp it with my fingertips. Then I'd lift it up straight, so my arms are straight, parallel to the ground with my shoulders, and just hold it out with my fingertips for as long as I could. And then I would try and beat that record, and then I would go and get it was a 4-inch thick concrete block, and then after that I progressed to a 6-inch concrete block, which was 27 kilograms, and I'd do the same thing again. And that is where I really got a lot of finger strength and grip, wrist strength and grip strength, and that's where it all came from for me. It was all training with concrete blocks. So it was just a total old school sort of method. It's nothing conventional about it. It was just two concrete blocks that you could find in a building site. You can go to a hardware shop and get and just train with them.
Well, you know what we do too a lot. I love I'll take two bricks and tape them together, and just sit there and hold bricks until you drop them. You know, same thing with the concrete blocks. It's just very simple things that are cheap too that you can afford that are unbelievable tools that you can build a monster grip with. Because I don't want to ever dissuade anybody from going anywhere to lift stones. But if you don't have a man-sized grip, you're not going to lift that stone. Not unless you're some kind of freak of nature where it doesn't matter. But I've seen too many people go to do that, and they're very strong individuals, and they come home very disappointed. Another thing that's real impressive, you hit upon this in the early part, and this is definitely something that's going to build your grip. I love the idea with the stone, with the tire work you do. Explain to everybody why you feel the tire is so important as being a stone lifter. And was that by accident? How did you discover how great tire flipping is and how it translates to stone work?
Well, I first seen a tire flip in World's Strongest Man a number of years ago. And then I was once at the, when I was still working as a builder at the time, a few years back, I was down getting my car fixed, getting a few new tires in the front of the car. And I've seen that they had, when I was getting my car fixed, they also fixed big tractor tires as well. So I've seen a few that were actually getting out for scrap. And so I asked if I could have one. I went and got the pickup. I took it down to a field. And I just started flipping it. And I contacted the manufacturer that actually made the tire in China. And it was, Japan it was. It was a £500 you said it was.
Yep.
And this is the tire we flipped for a mile in the park. But jeez, I feel that I got a lot from flipping the tire, because you have to use your whole body. And I mean, the more you flip the tire, for me, I like to do for repetitions. And
yep.
Of course, the more you do, the more you're tired, the more tired you're getting, and the slower you're getting, the more you've got to use all the other muscles that you've got. I mean, you pick up a tyre, you've got your grip to start with. You need a strong grip to get that tyre off the ground and pick it up in the first place.
Yep.
Then you go into a deadlift, you go into a squat, so you're like front squatting, you're deadlifting. You're using your biceps, your triceps. When you get the tyre up so far, you can put your hands underneath the tyre to push it over. You're going into like a standing bench press sort of thing. And you're using your triceps there as well, your shoulders, everything. Your back, your lower back, every single muscle is getting involved in that workout. And then for me, I went to start after I lifted. I got a tyre once I lifted the Ember Stone, and then I got a few other stones to train with. And then I found that after flipping that tyre countless number of times, it really improved my strength phenomenal for lifting the stones. My back strength was increased phenomenal, my grip strength from picking the tyre up, my chest, my legs, everything. And then there was an exercise I used to do, which I called chasing the tyre.
Oh, really? Okay.
I come up with this exercise one time. I got four stones, 85 kilograms up to 140 kilograms. I would line them up. I would place a tyre 25 feet away from me. I would lift the first stone, the lightest one, run up to the tyre, flip it over once, come back, lift the next stone, come back over, flip the tyre again, and do that till I got all four stones done. Then I go back, flip the tyre two times, come back and lift the heavy stone up to my chest again, come back to the tyre and just back and forth. Every time I lift a stone, I run to the tyre, then back to a stone and lift it up and go to the tyre. And I found this was, in the first day, stone lifting tour I did, when we lifted like six stones in one day, then three stones the next day. I found that I could just constantly go and go and go and lift all these stones all day because of training. Like I say, what I call flipping the tyre, no, chasing the tyre, should I say. You lift the stone, flip the tyre, lift the stone.
Love it.
It gives you a great cardio and great strength at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Now, when you're doing stuff like this, how much weight training are you doing, or did you adapt yourself so much you could still train at a high volume? Because we know, which is very interesting, how you said in the beginning, well, in the midpoint of the show, where you would do a much lighter weight for more volume, so to speak, or more reps, and then you come in the last few sets, and I don't know if you were doing limit or close to it or even 90% of it and having great success. So were you still doing a lot of weight lifting, as in barbell, when you're doing these two movements together, or were you kind of taming down what you were doing with your weightlifting, mainly just to get to the point where you can get through all this stuff and keep building upon it?
For me, I mostly concentrated on lifting the stones and flipping the tyre.
Yep.
I still go to the gym, but not so often.
Yeah.
I would just do them set and exercises I mentioned, mostly just the front squat, the good mornings, and the lat pull downs. And then, of course, if I was going to lift a heavy stone, I would do heavy bent over rows with a dumbbell.
Just
to build up lat and up my back. Quite a lot of things I did at the gym when I went for high volume with my biceps. So
yeah.
I didn't incur like a tear when lifting a stone.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, now myself included, I think that's why I paid for my left bicep. I did bicep work, but not to the degree, because I was always under the thought, and a lot of people are, and the smaller muscles will follow the bigger ones. But having not the experience of lifting stones at the time, I never thought to, hey, you know what, maybe you ought to work these a little direct, get a lot of blood volume in there, because they are a very important muscle, and they're a very small muscle, and they're a very common muscle us stone lifters tear. But I also, too, go with some of the things people said, and I take full responsibility for this. Obviously, I had not prepared my body the way it should have been. You learn. Unfortunately, it's a hard way to learn. Maybe I wasn't conditioned enough in those areas. Could be. So I learned, and now I do it. And I believe I agree totally with you. I don't care what anybody says. You better take good care of those biceps, especially if you want to lift, you know, small, big, and large stones, because it's imperative to have that area very strong, just like everything else. Another thing I agree with you totally on, bent rows. You don't see a lot of that in gyms anymore. You very rarely hear a lot of it. You know, anything with a bent row, a dip, all the older school stuff, you know, a pullover. Big movements that create big musculature and a lot of strength and thickness, you don't hear anymore. And when you and I both know, when you lift stones, you better have some lats on you for sure. Mm-hmm. Spinal erectors, obviously, yeah. Shoulder girdle, fingers, hands. There's so many things that go into that. And I can remember Bill saying, Martin, for a while there, they were just lifting stones and doing a lot of walking with them. And I'm sure he was doing some varied weightlifting stuff, but he said the stones now were the paramount thing to do. I remember saying they were doing it, I believe it was through the winter. And one of the things he said, a few of the things that really struck me was this. He said his hair got thicker, his beard got thicker, his muscles got dense as hell. And, you know, this is a guy that's an established lifter. This isn't, you know, a guy that's been lifting for 5 years. He's been lifting over half of his lifetime. And Bill, I think, is maybe in his early 50s now. To hear somebody say that, I mean, because you and I both know all the experts out there will tell us, you know, when you hit 22 with weightlifting, you're pretty much dead. You're never going to get stronger, et cetera, et cetera. And we know that's a big falsehood.
Yeah, well, but, this year's Bill at 54, and he was in
our coach tour with
me a few months ago. No, just the last month, and he was phenomenal. I mean, Bill is really in the stone lifting kind of world. And Bill is, I've got to say, Bill is kind of a hero of mine in that way. He's so passionate and dedicated about the stone and the way he trains. He's kind of inspirational that, sort of, that way.
Oh, yeah. And you know what the nice thing about him is? I mean, Bill's a guy that will share information with you. You know how many people try to lock it down and act like they invented it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like what we're talking about here today. We've had more people due to this show, I get notes, that have started stone lifting because of the show. And I think that is dynamite, man. And it's like I've got more and more people coming on here about stone lifting because in 2017 – you know, we've put the word out. If I don't hunt you down or someone on the show doesn't give me your name, I mean, we're looking for stone lifters, obviously. But, you know, we want to talk about, like, what you and I are doing today. What are you doing weight-wise? What are you using? You know, you came up with a thing which is phenomenal. I mean, tire, back to stone. Tire, back to stone. Now, it might take people a little while to get used to that. But, you know, listen to what I just said about Bill Crawford. Hair got thicker. Beard got thicker. Skin got more dense. Do you think that's just something that happened out of nowhere? No. It's that prehistoric style that we've been, since evolution, I believe, since man has been created, that we were always set up to do things like that. That's how we used to live at one time. You know, hunter-gatherer. What, do you think we had bulldozers and buckets and all that to move stones? You go, you know, you're going to be so impressed when you go to Iceland and you see what Father Snorri Bjornsson did there. He built that sheep pen by hand. I know you've seen pictures. Wait till you see the size of the stones that he built that thing with. You're going to be like, what kind of man lifted this stuff? I mean, it's unbelievable. And you'll get to see the divide in the center and the history of it, where the Husafell stone was used to block one side when he was milking the goats on the other side. And it's incredible because they always say, you know, when you walk in there, supposedly there's ghosts, but, you know, where the sheep were. And doesn't matter to me. I stood right in there and took everything I could through me. But that's the beauty of that whole thing. You know, we've talked so many times about that stone where, you know, how much of everybody's DNA was absorbed in that? And who are we, like, wrapping our arms around today? Because Steve Jeck, I'm sure you know, Steve Jeck, I think, was the one who inspired the whole Icelandic voyage. when Steve went over there, he was the first one I know of that went over there and pretty much started the revolution there. Because when I read, when I watched his DVD on Iceland, I burned one of them up. I watched it so much. I'm in the second one that I was like, I got to go do this. I have to get there and go do this. And I've gone over there now twice. It is a very special place, just with so much history. You talk to anybody. There wasn't one person I hadn't met over there, young, old, in between. You say Husafell Stone, they all know what it is. Every one of them, man. It's incredible what it is. It's just like Scotland. You have such a deep history, and people understand it, and they know about these things. It's a beautiful thing. But when you go over there, you're going to be very impressed. I can't speak for you, but I've never known anybody that hasn't gone there and said, oh, my God, man, it is just unbelievable. The next thing is going to be this. Obviously, you know, you're an established stone lifter. You're an expert at your art. There's no doubt about it. Tell me about some of the stones in Scotland that you have encountered, and do you have a favorite stone in Scotland that you've lifted?
Well, my favorite stone would have to be the Inver stone.
Really? The Inver? Okay.
Yeah, because for me, it was the first, because apart from being the first one I lifted, that was the very day I met Peter Martin, who turned out to be, he was a really good friend, and we emailed and met quite a lot of times. And he said, but it's just, even, I've lifted up stone now about maybe six times. A few times I've just been driving past and I've just stopped off just to lift it.
I think that's great. You know, stop and lift the big stone. That's awesome. All right, so obviously the Inver. You know what I'm always interested in, especially when we were talking about Jack Shanks and all that with the Dinnies. I mean, to think that the size of him, and he lifted him, especially no straps and all that. And what about, I mean, I know you went on the tour with Bill and you guys were looking for stuff possibly that you didn't know if it existed or not. But what about, I've looked at so many different stones. What else do you like, Martin, that you could tell everybody about?
The way of the stones.
Yeah, anything in Scotland. Yeah.
I think there's two stones called the Glenroy stones.
Yep.
One's called the Big Red. And it weighs 133 kilograms.
Okay.
I was down there 2 weeks ago, and I got in a weighed. It's the other stone that sits next to it is a grey stone. It looks like it's kind of like a pyramid sort of shape. And I call that this Sister Red. So you've got you got Big Red, then you've got Sister Grey, should I say.
Yep.
I thought since it was the one stone had a name, the other stone had to have a name too, so it's called Sister Grey now. The first day, I've lifted them twice now. The first time I lifted them, I lifted five stones before I got there. But both the stones back in 2013, I could barely lift off the ground at the time.
Yep.
And 2 weeks ago, I got them both up to my chest.
Nice.
That was the two stones I was really wanting to lift more than anything else. So I was I'm really happy I got them. But I'm actually going back at the end of this month to try and put them both on my shoulder now.
Oh, wow.
But it's, for me, the Glen, and everyone that I've given directions there and went and visited there and have lifted the stones, and they've lifted other stones. The Glenroy stones is the most scenic place you could be. It's just a fantastic place. Even if you're not lifting the stones, just to go and see them. I mean, stones are sitting there. There's waterfalls all the way down the road. There's a big bridge and a little cottage that's sitting right next to stones, and a big river. And it's, when the sun's out and it's in the right place, it's like the most scenic place you could ever be in Scotland. It's fantastic.
Well, let me ask you this, like, you know, a lot of the stones we did in 08 are so spread out, driving-wise. Say we wanted to go get the Inver, the Dinnies, and the, I don't know, whatever else, Fiona, anything like that. How are we in proximity of each other? Are we long distances apart, like Iceland, or are a lot of the big stones fairly close to one another?
No, there's quite a few stones that are like an hour to an hour and a half away from each other.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
But the great thing is with that, and it being Scotland, it's such a great place just to drive around. When you drive from one stone to the next, it's everything you see on the way. It makes the whole journey and the whole tour even a lot bit more fantastic. You can love the whole thing from the minute you start, whatever time it is, to the time you finish, just driving around, lifting the stones, going location to location. The whole thing is just fantastic. It can make a great day, a great weekend.
Well, let me ask you this. To cover some of the stones, I mean, just say we set something up with you next year and we all met. Is there a way we could do quite a few of them, say a week's time, like as in 5 days?
Oh, we could go around a whole lot.
Okay.
What I've been doing for people that get in touch with me want to do a tour with me around the stones, I've actually been making them booklets, maybe 13 to 15 page booklets, giving them a lot about history of the stone, the directions to the stone, saying where we're going to go, what stone we'll do after the next stone we'll do, what we'll do in each one after the next, the location we'll take to get there, what you'll see on the way, any stop offs there might be, we could stop off that might like to see, and I'll let them know how much time it'll take to get around each one and the best way to go, and a lot about history about the stone. I try and give them a booklet as well. So I just come up with a whole kind of itinerary, the whole week or weekend or day, whatever they want.
I'll tell you one thing. It's like, I think I told you offline, you know, obviously I'm not going to stay in New York once the business is really rolling to where I feel it's, you know, we'll move on. I don't even know if I'm going to stay in the United States. I loved Iceland that much. And when I come to Scotland next year, if I like that better, there's a possibility I could go live in either place, maybe for a year, maybe for a lifetime. I don't know. I think I'm so enamored with stones and history. And, you know, I love weights and all that stuff. And I like more of the rustic life. You know, I'm not going to go without running water, obviously, but my point is I don't need to have all the luxuries. I can get by with some very good things that are going to last a lifetime. And the main thing is this, you know, like you're talking about everything over there, you begin to write your own life for yourself. And you know, the entrapments and all that stuff, I just like the idea of the primal feel of going over and doing things like that. You know, like you said, the scenic, the history, the people, you get kind of a different perspective on what's important to you, what life is going to be for you down the road. And to be honest with you, with what we're doing here with the show and everything, I mean, if I don't lay my boots somewhere permanently, I do want to have something to go home to, but I feel in the next year to 2 years, I think a lot of us are going to be on the road together doing some stuff, whether it's speaking, whether it's lifting tours, whether it's who knows what. So I feel the next 5 years here, just of what I want to accomplish with the different people who are on the show, and if they still want to be on the show and want to get involved in this, it's going to be it's going to be not only a busy time, but it's going to be a very joyful time.
Mm-hmm.
And the education we can give, I would love, you know, we talk about this all the time, Martin. We want to afford people the ability to go after whatever they want to do. But wouldn't it be great, no matter what it is you like to do with physical stuff, weight, stones, anything, my dream is to let's get as many kids right now interested in this, and let's build a whole new crop of great stone lifters or weight lifters or Olympic lifters or whatever it is you want to do, and keep you involved the rest of your life and keep passing it down to the next generation. Because I'm telling you right now, the way I see things is this stuff could disappear very easy. It might not disappear over where you are, but we don't have a lot of that here. We don't have, I believe, a lot of pride in our lifting. You know, we used to have an Olympic lifting team. Once Bob Hoffman died off, that was the end. There's just some things I don't want to see go away, and we want to keep it out there and keep all these great people on here. And hopefully, you know, people always say to me, Martin, well, if you get 1 out of 10, I was like, screw that. I want 10 out of 10.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I'm not shooting low like that. And I know everybody on here is like that. They're hungry like that. Why don't you – we're right about at the end of the show, and I hope you'll come back on because it's been dynamite. Anything you want to say, you know, synopsis-wise, give out anything you want. I'll give my material out, and please stay on the line. But now that everybody's got a little bit of taste of what you're doing, we're going to be getting some mail on this, I'm sure of it. So anything you want to put out there, Martin, finish the show up, say whatever you want, take your time. Let me give my info and stay on the line, and we'll talk offline if you would, please.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, there's two things that I could finish off with for this show, and hopefully I'll get back to do it again. Going back to that stone I was telling you about in Wales with the historian.
Yep.
That, apart from the first stone I lifted and got on my shoulder, that has to be the proudest moment ever have lifted a stone, and that was that one in Wales for the historian. Because once I lifted that stone, and I was talking to him afterwards, he said to us that we gathered us all around, and he said that he's written countless number of, he was like 81, 82, he said to us he's written countless number of books about Welsh history. He's been invited to America so many times, to universities, to give lectures about Welsh history. He spoke about the stone and his stories about the history. He's been a prisoner of war and everything, all that sort of stuff. And it's one of the proudest, the greatest days of his life to that day was actually seeing that stone being lifted.
That's awesome.
I tell you, I've never been proud to lift any stone than that. I tell you, it was just to hear him say that and to be able to give him that sort of joy and happiness and let him see that something been done with that stone. It was, again, I just felt great. We've got to do that for him. And
hey,
sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, sir. I didn't mean it.
Second thing I could say, one of the things I train with quite a lot is the sandbag. I'm a big believer in, I love training with the sandbag. I've actually got the sandbag sitting in my living room.
Yep.
It sits underneath the window beside the living room door. And
yeah, I saw that. I love it.
It's currently filled at 125 kilograms. It's just sitting there, and I could be sitting down with a cup of tea, or I'll go and put the kettle on to make the tea, or I'm watching TV. I'll just look in the corner, and I'll just go and start lifting this sandbag. I'll do a few reps when I'm watching telly or when a kettle boils. One time when I first started lifting, before I started lifting natural stones seriously, I was training with Utley stones at a gym, and I was stuck on the 140 kilogram stone and 160 kilogram stone. So I filled the sandbag up to 130 kilograms, and what I did, I wrote down numbers from 1 to 100.
Yep.
And I wanted to lift that sandbag up to my chest 100 times, and every time I lifted it to my chest, I marked off a number, and I wrote down a date of in 6 weeks, and I wanted to complete that in 6 weeks. So, and I managed the goal, and I went back to the gym, and I lifted that 160 kilogram stone just off the ground like it was nothing.
I tell you, dude, you are impressive, man. I'm very impressed, and I don't get impressed real easy. You do some unbelievable things, but you know what? You got to have grit like you wouldn't believe to do stuff like that, and you've got to have a will like nobody else out there, because you and I both know you've got a 275 pound sandbag when you walk into your house. I mean, how many people are doing anything like that, let alone if you're doing high numbers? I think sandbags are the most underrated thing out there. I really do, because you know, everybody wants the, a stone looks more impressive, let's face it, all right? I could care less, man. You know, if you want to lift a truck axle, that's impressive. It doesn't matter to me. The thing is, you definitely, it agrees with you. I mean, you can flip a 500-pound tire for miles, man, and hours and all that. I mean, that's testament to, obviously, that type of training is going to enhance your stone lifting unbelievable. And when you made that gentleman happy by lifting that stone, that is very impressive. There isn't anybody I know out here that wouldn't just like shake their head in awe, because here's something he thought would never be lifted, and you went and did it. And I congratulate you, man. I mean, I'm very impressed. Let me put it to you that way.
Thank you very much.
There's no doubt about it. You bring it, and that's why I said to you before offline, you know, welcome to the family. We are so happy to have you aboard, and I hope you're going to be with us for the next 30 years. This is the kind of people we want here. This is the circle we have, and this is why more and more people are getting into this type of training and hopefully competition, and this is why, before you know it, there's not going to be any other place you're going to go to listen to this type of material. And I think we are the ones that do it anyways. I know there's other people that do things, but they don't do it like us. And I really appreciate you coming on, Martin. You've graced us with pure power, and you're a gentleman all the way. If there's anything else you want to put out, be my guest, and then I'll finish up the show, please.
Okay, just one last thing about the sock bug. I'm now actually going to – I'm a big believer, like I say, that we spoke about in doing repetition work.
Yep.
And with the sandbag being at 125 to 130 kilograms, I would lift it for a rep or maybe two reps, then give it a few minutes and lift it again. But now I feel that to prepare myself more for more stone lifting, to get more serious about it, I'm going to take the sandbag down to 110 kilograms. And lift it for more repetition work. And I'm going to do like maybe eight reps, and I'll rest for 3 minutes, eight reps again, and do that for five to six sets. And then 3 nights after that, I'll do it again. I'll maybe do that 3 nights a week for the rest of the rest of this month, and I'll go down and talk a lot, Glenn Roy stones again, and try and get one on the shoulder.
That's friggin' awesome, man. And you know, we had talked about this, and I want to really bring this up in the next show. But I questioned you. I said, did you ever press the Inver overhead? And you said you were going to work on that. Is that going to be something you're going to try to get done within the next few years, or is there too many things going on right now?
No, within the next 2 years, I'm going to press that Inver stone above my head.
I got it. You know something? When you're ready to do that, I got to come to Scotland and see that. I got it. And I'd love to try it, too. Well, we don't say try here. I want to do it, or will do it. I got to see that, man. And you know, film is great, but film doesn't justify it when you're standing right there watching it. It's just, you know, people want to always talk about, oh, man, it's so impressive. I got a big shot in the arm and all that. Well, I'll tell you what, go and stand and you know, be part of it, man, and see somebody do that. There's nothing more impressive than that, and that is awesome.
And so I'll make you a bet. In 2 years from this day, I'll press the Inver stone above my head. 2 years from today.
Okay. You got it, man. I'm going to hold you to it, too. I'll remember that. I'll write that down. I think that is exciting as hell.
2 years from this very day, it'll be above my head.
That is unreal, man. I'm trying to think what else. Do you got everything out you want to lay out, Martin?
The last thing is I'm actually writing a book for an e-book that can go online.
Okay. So
it'll be free to everyone. It's just about how I train for the stones and the way I've lifted them, and how you can lift. Some of the stones are like very awkward shapes and they're misshapen, so a lot of the weight is off-sided to one side of the stone, so they're very awkward to lift, a lot of them. A lot of people have trouble lifting them, so I'm actually going to write an ebook for everyone to get free of charge, just to read, and hopefully it can help them in the way and how I train for these stones and what I've done in the past, and the best way I lift these stones, and the best thing I think that people can actually do in preparation before they get there.
Yeah, that would be awesome, because I think when we were at Latra, where I tore my bicep, and I pulled the big one, I'm almost positive I pulled it on the heavier side when I probably should have turned it or stood it straight up, and I'm sure that's what blew the bicep. because it was immediate. And usually I've lifted a lot of different stones and never had it. And then everybody was like, well, you're on a plane all night, whatever. It doesn't matter. It happened. You take care of it and you go from there. But, yeah, I think that would be a phenomenal book, and we would be glad to push that as much as you'd like out of here, get people in the States. And I know you've got your Facebook and all that, but, you know, as we keep growing, I want to help people like that, and, you know, I'd be more than happy to help you out with that. What else you got?
Well, that's it for us now.
Okay.
I've got
all
so
right.
much stuff I would love to tell you, and I would like to keep it for for you, so as long as you take my buck, I've got plenty.
Oh, hell yeah,
I've got hundreds of stuff I can tell you.
Well, that's going to be the good thing, but we want to introduce you, and they got a hell of a dose of you today. Like I said, we want you back for 30 years, so remember all
I'm
that stuff.
For that, right? I'm for that, definitely. I'll be here.
Remember that.
Plus, I'll be here.
Okay, well, as long as we're all around, and that would be the thing, I can't wait. I don't want to wish my life away, but to think we last that long, that would be an incredible – talk about a feat of strength, let me tell you. All right, this is Motivation Muscle. This is streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Same thing, the 30-day program where we get into a little bit of power rack and sandbag training. If you're not ready for that, stick that program in your back pocket. I guarantee you, you'll love it. It's a good way to start out. It's a good way to get bigger and stronger, and that's what we talked about here today. Also, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Two of the biggest products to date. I know down the road we'll have more, but right now we are developing this show to the point where we're going to be international and everywhere. There isn't going to be anybody, I believe, within the next 12 months that's not going to know about us and everybody involved with it, because I'm telling you right now, when you want to be the best, you'll be the best. But when you can be genuine and authentic and be decent to people, people are going to keep coming back because they're going to want to know more and more and more. And we're the type of place where you're just going to want to know more and more and get to know everybody on here. So keep a good open mind to all that. Also, like I said, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the people that are on this show. We have the best people in the universe on here, man. There's nothing, I believe, that you cannot learn from here. We've got every genre on here, and everybody on here does what they talk about. A lot of shows, the people on there aren't doing what they're talking about, or somebody else is writing their material. That will never happen here. Anything I talk about, I do. You've seen the film out there. You're going to see a lot more footage starting next month, believe me. Okay, so go out to motivationmuscle.com. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what everybody's done. You know we're streaming 24/7. You can hear us also on Google Play Music. Tune in, Shoutcast, and if you have the capability to get a podcast in your car, all the new cars have it, go out to AHA, that's A-H-A, and look for Motivation Muscle, and you can hear us right off your radio if you want to do that. Obviously, I know there's other devices you can plug in and do it, but if you have the capability, you can do that now. I'll leave you, if there's a show you'd like Martin and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Don't be afraid to go out to M&M and leave a comment. We love comments. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. But please keep it civil, all right, because I'm not going to put up with anything but that. And I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say hello or give words of advice or inspiring someone. 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Also, too, if you're going to lift today, bend it, break it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoosa Steel Stone says in blood red, the crusher says domination. We are domination. We clear cut our path. We don't follow anyone's. And the 3 words I live by big time now is dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. I'm telling you right now, take those words to heart and think about them, what they mean to you. And I always say, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's a guest on this show and who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We love that, Russell. We will say that for the next 30 years, and I thank you for that compliment. And as I said before, Frank Klein, who was a big mentor in college, used to say repetition, repetition, repetition. Do it. You need it. I need it. I say it all the time. And as my dad said, may you rest in peace. Be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And I spoke about John Ridge today with Steve. Mentor, big guy behind me going after this stuff. And like a father figure, because I lost my father many years before I met John. He was my chiropractor. And he used to say two words, and he would walk every patient right to the door. Keep smiling. That will light you up. And you could have the worst day of your life, and you hear somebody say that, or you say it to yourself. You can change the whole day. Believe me, it will happen. So keep smiling, everybody. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people, tell everybody we're coming. We're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the thing clear in. And I'll have Martin behind me, and he'll drop a stone on you so we know you're coming then. Martin, it's been a pleasure, brother. Good to have you on, and we will have you on next month if you've got the time.
Yes, definitely. I wouldn't miss it. I think it's a great show. And the words you speak are all inspirational, and I agree with everything you say. I think you're a great person for doing the show and trying to kind of help make people's lives better. And yep. I just love the whole show. It's great.
Oh, thank you. And like it was very inspirational. And when you hear about you lifting a stone that nobody could ever get, and just the way you do things, if that's not passion and a formula for success, I don't know. So I thank you so much for being on. And like I said, we will have Martin on next month. So for Martin Janzik, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. It's the weekend. Don't lay down on anything. Stand up, dust yourself off, and go do something great, because every one of you can do something great and help somebody out. That's very important. Take your strength and show what your real strength is all about. It. Give everybody your inner strength. And we want to talk to you all soon, and just get out there and do it. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.